Time for our weekly social media news roundup with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, let's start with an update on the Twitter hack. Do we know anything more about it?
We know a little bit more about it. It's still an ongoing investigation on Twitter's end, but as of right now, Twitter believes that attackers targeted certain Twitter employees through what's called a social engineering scheme. And what that is it's the intentional manipulation of people into performing certain actions and divulging confidential information. So in the tech world, they were able to successfully manipulate a small number of employees and use their credentials, their login and their password information to access Twitter's internal systems, which are the things that actually control our Twitter accounts. So by doing that, they were able to get through those two-factor protections, things like when you apply your phone number and you get a text message, when you know you log into something that's a two-factor protection. And as of now, we know that they access tools that are only available to that team. So because we know that, we know, you know, the most specific information that they targeted 130 accounts as of right now. But for 45 of those accounts, they were able to log in, reset the password, log into the account, and send tweets. And those are the tweets, those crazy Bitcoin tweets that you saw.
Yeah, well, that's scary. So was there more to it than a Bitcoin scam?
It's really hard to say, especially right now, because it's very easy to speculate that it could be something else. To me, just from what I know about it and from my experience, it seems like an awful lot of trouble just for people to get some Bitcoin. But for now, I think we have to wait and see until we get more information.
And the hackers actually got even more info when they broke into some of the accounts, right?
Yeah. And this is a big part of it, Bob. For up to 8 of the accounts involved, the attackers took the additional step of downloading the account's information through, it's called your Twitter data. It's a tool that everybody has in their settings. If you go into your settings, you can click on your Twitter data, and it'll take anywhere from a few hours to a day, depending on the number of followers and the number of tweets that you sent. And what it basically does is it provides an account owner with a summary of your Twitter account details and activities. So it gives you back a spreadsheet of every single tweet that you sent and when you sent it. It's not in a form where you can share it right away because it's in this weird giant spreadsheet, but it's everything that you've ever sent. What's most interesting about this part, Bob, is that those 8 accounts were not verified accounts, the accounts with the blue check marks. So the thing that we have to remember, though, and this goes back to the whole speculation thing, while most high-profile people and celebrities and companies have verified accounts, there are a lot of people who don't for one reason or another. So, for an example, an employee of one of the companies that was targeted, there was Uber and it was Apple, or a political campaign staffer, maybe. It's just really hard to say who these people would be that are important to these people that don't have the verified check mark. And the thing is, no matter what we do and how long we wait, Twitter is not going to tell us which accounts those were. So unfortunately, anything we have there is just speculation. But knowing that those accounts were not verified is very, very telling.
Don't you always wonder who these hackers, scammers, and people are who just want to sabotage your computer? How many are there? And what's their motivation? Is this what they do all day?
You know what? A lot of good questions in there. yes, I wonder about it often. I worry about it all the time. And honestly, Bob, yes, that is all they do all day. They have the power and the capability to do these things. And, you know, I think initially they want to use them in a way where it's seems harmless, you know, to get Bitcoin, but what they end up with is a security breach that is so bad and so scary that we're still talking about it weeks later because we just don't know what their true motivation was.
Right. For a social media strategist, that's who he is, Scott Kleinberg. Scott, let's talk about what's new at Facebook. They're doing something different with political posts. Tell us about it.
Yeah, sure. So, Bob, this is going to be noticeable in your Facebook feed, and Facebook has announced that it will now add new labels to all posts from federally elected officials and presidential candidates, any post that mentions voting or ballots, regardless of whether the post contained misinformation or not. So if it mentions voting, it gets a label. And the label is, you know, it's pretty fancy and colorful. It includes a Get Voting Information button. And when you click it, you're sent to a page on the USA.gov website, and it outlines various questions and answers about the voting process.
So how big a step is this for Facebook?
It's a big step, and it's a bit surprising. Facebook is always against wide-scale changes, especially posts from government officials. They like to keep those just as they are. Adding labels used to be a very rare occurrence. Now, they're pretty much going all in. So instead of just adding a label on something that may or may not be false, they're just adding the label to any post to avoid that entire problem of deciding that. So any post about voting gets it, whether the post is harmless, the post contains lies or truths, it doesn't matter.
I know you stay up nights because of all the rampant misinformation on Facebook. So you got to like this, right?
I might get an extra hour of sleep if I'm lucky, Bob. To me, it shows that Facebook is listening to its community, which is important. It's still a small gesture, though. We have to remember that, no matter how front and center it is. It's only on the elected officials' account. It's not on the regular accounts that post something, so people can still spread misinformation. And, very important, Facebook is still standing firm on its decision not to fact-check political ads. And to me, that is always going to be a ridiculous stance to take, because you just have to challenge those things that you know are not real. But, you know, for now, baby steps is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, are you optimistic? Do you think there's any chance that they may come around and change that policy?
I think that they could be pressured to do it, and I think that there's a possibility that they could take some action, but for them to take the actual action that needs to be taken in time for this year's election, I do not think will happen.
All right. Well, finally, let's get an update from the world of emoji.
You know, it's fun to talk about this because everyone loves to use them. We get super excited when new ones come out. Last year, you may remember, I'm sure you keep track of this on your calendar, we got pancakes. Before that, we got burritos. Now we're getting a ninja. We're going to get bubble tea, flatbread, fondue, a toothbrush, a whole bunch of other things to play around with.
How do these emojis get picked for our phones and computers?
This is the best part, and I love this because it's so weird and quirky. All new emoji characters have to be approved by what's called the Unicode Consortium, and it's a real thing. It's a nonprofit organization which maintains emoji standards and guidelines. So whenever a new emoji is added, it comes via the consortium, and then it's translated into the characters that you see on your device. So by going through this central organization, it makes sure that emojis can be sent between all these different devices, iPhones and Samsung phones and Android phones and then Facebook Messenger. So in the simplest of terms, the consortium votes on the new emoji. It then tells Apple and Google and Microsoft, Facebook and the other companies what the drawings are to be of. Then the companies create them for their device. So that's why when you see an emoji on an iPhone and then you see it somewhere else on your computer, it may look slightly different because it's created by a different company, but they're still creating the same character. The one thing to remember is every time you send a smiley face or every time you send a taco to someone, that the consortium is all powerful.
So this is crazy. Is there some sort of Unicode consortium headquarters building in Manhattan? And can I get a job there as the chief emoji picker?
Well, hold on. I'm trying to get that job first. I like you, but, you know, come on. I've been waiting for that for years. And you know what? We talked before about hackers sitting around all day and doing nothing else. Imagine having that job where the only thing you do is emoji. I love that so much.
Scott Kleinberg, always good talking to you, Scott. Have a great day.
You too, Bob. Thank you.